Hello, and welcome to Be Creator, Serious Influence, the podcast all about the creator economy. I'm Alice Audley, and I'm the founder of Be Creator, formerly known as Blogosphere. Be Creator are the UK specialists in creator events. We run category-specific shows, such as the Beauty, Travel, and Health and Wellbeing Creator Show, which bring together brands, talent managers, and creators for a day of exhibitions, panels, presentations, and networking. And we also run the Be Creator Awards, our flagship event, which celebrates the best UK creators and creator marketing campaigns of the year. Last year's event had a reach of 179 million. If you would like to see some information about our events and how to get involved, head over to becreator.co.uk. Now, onto the show. Today on Be Creator, Serious Influence, I'm joined by travel creators Lloyd and Yaya of Hand Luggage Only. Founded in 2014, whilst Lloyd and Yaya were studying, the pair have since built their travel blog into a global sensation that gets over an impressive 1 million monthly unique visitors. This episode of Be Creator Serious Influence was recorded live at the Be Creator Travel Show.
I'm Lloyd and this is Yaya, and we are a travel duo, content creators under the handle of Hand Luggage Only. And yeah, we kind of blog our travels, we film everything, we take photos, we're on every single social media platform that we can think of at the moment.
Yeah, I think, so when we first started, it was pretty much, I think travel was probably a big part of what we were doing, but we were like, oh, we want to do food as well, and wanted to do like more home content. But then the food and the home stuff is kind of at odds with travel, because when you're traveling, you're not at home. So it was kind of the home stuff kind of, I guess, took a bit of a backseat kind of thing. And then the food, instead of cooking food at home, it became food when we travel. So I think everything, probably pretty much, I guess, travel would be our big.
So where did it all begin? Where did you meet? What is the story? What was the first social media platform that you joined? Take me back.
So we met at university, and we met years before any of this started. In fact, I think, not to put a date on it, but we...
Aging ourselves.
Yeah, we've known each other for probably the better part of almost two decades now.
Wow.
So it's like we've known each other for obviously quite some time, but we used to travel organically anyway. Like, we just used to do our own thing, and we always kept every single photo. Like, I think we're like hoarders of every photo, any video, everything. So when we started, it was just like, oh, actually, we used to share this on our personal Facebooks. Mm-hmm. How about we just create our own platform to share this on as well? It just almost like gives it a different purpose, because I think there's only so many times you can be like, oh, my mom just liked the photos, yay. So we felt like we wanted to like be able to share that. But more importantly, we felt like we wanted to share some of the things that actually helped to enrich our travels. Like, people give us tips before, and you're like, how nice would it be to share that stuff with other people? And so our very first platform, I would say, was our website.
Definitely our website. And I think...
The blog.
That was our main thing that we loved. And especially in travel, for us, is like, travel's all about being able to gain and share information in a lot of ways, like, and that's what helped us travel better. We felt like, okay, we can actually do exactly the same thing and share the things that we love and the restaurants we like and different things like this. So even though I wouldn't necessarily say it's in the traditional sense a blog is a social media platform, I still consider it a social media space.
Definitely. So that's where it all began for us.
Yeah.
With the blog, did you find what type of articles were you writing on there to start with? Was it longer form, shorter form? How did that develop? And your blog is still to this day, you've got huge numbers coming each month to it. I mean, we'll talk a bit more about that. But what were you sort of blogging about, and how did that word count kind of look?
I guess the start was pretty much everything and anything in terms of travel. I mean, some of the first posts were like literally...
I've seen them now.
It was like, I ate lamb in Ibiza today. Here's the lamb. And it was that. Like, there wasn't anything extra special to that. But I think over time, as we were like, okay, like, I think as part of that, we'd also share things like, say, we went to Bermuda. How did we find it? What were the costs like? And stuff like that. So there was lots of... Nothing was actually... There was never really one category we felt like we had to fit into. And it's the beauty of owning your own platform as well. And you're not really pandering to any algorithm gods. I mean, they weren't even thinking of algorithms back then. Mm. So it was very much like everything and anything. And I think one of the things we noticed was a lot of the helpful content. like the stuff that was actually sharing information, like people seem to really love that and really latch onto that as well. But then also the ones where we're just telling the stories of what we did, I think it also helped set context to it. So at the start there was no real...
There was no kind of plan other than it being a hobby at the start. So for us, in a lot of ways, some of the posts, like Yaya said, would be 80 words. And then others would be like 3,000. Like there was literally no strategy around like search engine optimization or anything like that. So at the start, it's very different to what it is now. And we can obviously delve in that as well a little bit later.
Well, in terms of what it is now, if we're looking at your social media mix, you've mentioned that you are on many different channels. How does the blog fit in with the socials? What is your strategy around what is each channel for and why?
Okay. So with the blog, just to set context as well, so when we started, we never actually signed up. I think we signed up for the only social media platforms that would actually link back to the blog. So Instagram, didn't care. Didn't sign up for Instagram. And I think it was probably a year after we were like, oh, fine, we'll just
maybe
be part
we
of
should.
It. Let's just do it. There's nothing, we might as well do that. But we really didn't care because the whole thing was the blog was central. That was the thing that we were actually like... I guess we had control over, we felt passionate about as well. And then, so that was the thing we did. And then the platforms that we then had after that were like, I think Facebook, because you could link through to the website, and Pinterest. Pinterest was like a day one, kind of as soon as we set up the website, like that Pinterest was kind of integrated into that as well.
Well, with Pinterest today, does that still drive, do you find... Yeah,
absolutely. Such
what sort
a
of numbers
platform.
Are you kind of looking at driving?
I mean, at the moment, so with regards to the amount of like click-throughs we would get through to our blog from Pinterest per day, it's about maybe 7,000.
Wow.
Oh, it'd be more than that.
Is it more?
I mean,
you can tell I didn't check the analytics today. So.
So I think
who's in charge of the data and who's in charge of creative, or do you mix the roles?
Mix it both. I think that's the beauty of like being in a duo sometimes, is like when one person is like, oh, I don't feel like doing that today, the other person can kind of pick up the slack. And the good thing is like when you start this yourself, you're in a position where you each have to learn. We as creators, we all wear many different hats. And I think as a duo as well, it just helps a little bit more to be able to be like, oh, do you know what? I don't want to do that. And you can pick up my slack or I can do the other way.
And I think we complement each other quite nicely because like some of the things I really hate doing, it's the stuff he really loves doing and vice versa. So kind of there's always somebody somewhere that can kind of do something there as well. But no, to your question about Pinterest. So I think say on a month where say on average we get like 1.9 million page views, Pinterest could account for 30% of that, 35% of that. So it is quite a strong platform, and it's one that we take actually quite seriously as well.
And yeah, definitely as a, like obviously as a creator as well, as a full-time creator, you're obviously thinking about your commerciality around that, and that does help obviously with like passive adverts that you have on your blog and things like that.
You mentioned that you pick up the slack for each other when you're not feeling particularly like doing one platform. Do you have a preference for each of yourself? Like, is Pinterest your favorite platform? Is TikTok your favorite platform?
We definitely do. And I think one of the things we've learned with ourselves, how we work over time, is we can both not be in charge of the same thing. It descends into chaos. Because there's multiple ways to, like, I don't know, share a story from a trip. And it's like if you're both doing the exact same thing, and one person's like, oh, I want to do it this way, another person wants to do it that way. And both answers are right and they're valid and they're probably all okay to do. But then how do you decide who's going to be in charge of it? So now we have like, okay, right, you're doing this, I'm doing this. It's actually been really helpful to have clearly defined kind of roles.
Yeah.
And those roles can switch. So you're like on a different trip, you're like, okay, right, you do this and I'll do that kind of thing. But I think it really helps because that too many cooks in the kitchen thing is real.
So do you sort of sit down once a month, this is the strategy, say, for March?
We would tend to do that in January. For the whole year, and have like for ourselves, just be like, okay, what are we wanting to achieve this year? Like, how do we want this year to look on the blog, on socials, and different things like that? And I think it's kind of important because, like, as creators, we get so sucked into firefighting around like creating content and like pushing things out that sometimes you just need to pull yourself back a little bit and look at it from the outside in. So
get the perspective exactly. Zoom out.
And I think, in terms of then even, say, project-by-project basis kind of thing, we play that loosey-goosey kind of like, it's like, say, if we're going to France tomorrow, we kind of decide, okay, right, who's going to deal with which part kind of thing. But I think we then know, okay, like, this is my part now. So give me all the input, give me all the stuff that you want to, but then I can be like, okay, right, I'll make the final call on this. But it's never like a fixed thing. It's just more like, a, right, I'm going to be busy with this, so can you help out with that? Or you do this and I do that. So we kind of just mix it up, really.
Full-time content creators, you see, need some revenue. We've got the lamb in Ibiza as the first blog post. Do you remember what your first brand deal was, or the time when you realized, hey, actually, maybe this could be a career?
Yeah, so like when we started in 2014, and I think we went full-time in 2015, the travel creator space wasn't as developed as, say, maybe the fashion space on being able to be a full-time creator. It just wasn't there in the same way. And one of the first kind of like deals that we got with working with the brand, I remember we were in Croatia.
On a personal trip,
and we were just sat down having lunch, and I was like, "Oh, we're going to be working with this hotel brand." I was so excited. I was like, "You kind of get into the situation like, I can't believe somebody wants to work with me. Like, why?" Kind of thing.
What sort of year are we in now?
This is 2015.
Yeah. So the first trip that we, the first thing that we did that was like working with the brand was actually 6 months after we started the blog.
Yeah.
And that was like, that wasn't like a paid trip. I think that was even like one of those, huh? You want me to go to, it was in the Basque Country in Spain. And that was like probably the first kind of collaboration that we did off the back of the blog.
As press trip, but not paid.
Yeah. And then so this time we're talking about now was in 2015. So early 2015. And yeah, so we got that email and then you get the contract as well as part of it.
I think that was one of the first times when we like, you know, you're looking through the email and you're like, oh my gosh, like I didn't even know you could be paid to travel. Like, what is this kind of thing? And then
I bet the brand loved that. They were like, yeah, no, just come.
I know, right?
Well, the way it even came through was like, so initially when we got that, it was, so we got the offer and it was with a hotel and it was going to be traveling around like Nordic countries. And in my mind, I was like, oh my God, there's so much I want to do here. So I was already happy to just do it. Mm. And bear in mind, back then we had full-time jobs. So it wasn't, we weren't thinking of the blog as a source of revenue. We didn't even think that that could be a thing. It was just more like this hobby that we had on the side. And then suddenly someone is like, oh, as part of your hobby, would you like to do this? So our mindset was like, yes, this sounds amazing. And I think it was like, as we were reading through like the whole thing, got to the end of it, and I was like, oh, and here's the pay. And then like, I was like, oh my God, wait, they're going to pay us for this as well. That was like very like, oh my God, this is incredible. But you read it first, and then you'd missed out a zero from it. And then
I think collapsed off my seat, like literally.
And I think it was when I reviewed it later, I was like, oh, there's one extra zero here. And I think it was like, oh my gosh, this is, oh, okay, and I think there was definitely a light bulb moment there where you're like, oh, so there is something in this industry, like beneath the surface, where this could be a lucrative kind of business like conversation here, but like we didn't, I think it was like, okay, cool, but that wasn't like something that we're just grateful for it, and then stepped away from that kind of thing.
As well as like as creators as well, like it sounds so weird to say, but like we all live our lives quite heavily online, but it's also quite an insular experience, so like, you don't really quite fathom your own kind of creative influence in lots of ways. And it's when somebody comes to you, then you're like, what? Like that was the kind of the initial shock that we had when we first started thinking about this as a full-time career.
So 2015, the first brand deal comes through. Then are they starting to come in thick and fast? Are you doing all of the contracts?
At the start, it was like, yeah, it was definitely less thick and faster than it is now. And, you know, this industry thrives on numbers and KPIs and all that kind of stuff. What I would say is, like, we learned through the years ourselves of being able to negotiate contracts, of being able to... And I don't even know if I could do it that well now. Like, if I'm being honest with you, but you do learn on the fly. And, like, again, goes back to the thing is, like, as creators, we all wear so many different hats, and we have to, because we're our own champions in lots of ways.
Well, in terms of brand deals, then, when we threw it at that time, it wasn't definitely not thick and fast. It was very much like, oh, something would come in, and then another thing would come in random. It was very sporadic. And back then, again, like, really didn't care, because I think, so I'd been working for a little bit then. I felt like I was finally in a place where I was like, oh, this career kind of, I finally have, I can pay my rent and I can also pay for food and I still have a little bit of money left, because like when I first moved to London, I think my disposable income after paying for rent and I don't even think this after paying for rent and transport was £100
No, it was less than that. It was like £20 a week.
yeah, that's £100 a month. About it.
Ish.
Yeah. But that was like, and that was the money to go out on a night out. That was the money to do every extra thing. So it felt like I'd finally kind of settled into like this was like, oh yeah, now I can finally breathe kind of financially. So I think, so initially it was sporadic, but I wasn't really, we weren't concerned about the money so much so. But then what we felt like was like, okay, if this is going to become a venture, we have to then build on the numbers. And so that means that we have to almost like earn our place to be there. So it felt like wait till the blog hits a certain milestone. So we were with the blog, we're like, right, 200K. Oh no, 100K actually initially. Okay, like, let's hit that. And then something's going to change overnight since we hit that. Hit that, nothing changed. Oh, maybe 250K would be the thing. Like, let's hit that kind of thing. And then we will see.
What was your strategy to sort of growth in that way? Was it consistency,
I would say it's like just being, I would say tenacity.
Yeah.
I know that sounds strange to say. It was fluffy, but like just being like doing something you're passionate about and realizing you want to do this as a career and realizing, you know what, if I'm a little bit tired, I can still do this.
I think that is the key as well. If you aren't truly passionate because of the amount of work that goes into it, it's never going to work.
You can tell the people that are doing our creative, I suppose, space, you know, creative space, they're doing it for the wrong reasons. Mm. Whether that's because they feel like they could get a freebie or they want to just get a different kind of job.
Something quick, yeah.
But you can instantly tell because you can see the passion isn't driving you.
Yeah, but the thing we found was like, so we kept thinking, oh, it was just this numbers thing, get there, and then suddenly something would change. And I think there was definitely a point where we were like, okay, look, at this point now, we have over 500,000 page views a month. This is higher than most other people that even inspired us at the start of our journey as well. So we should be doing stuff. And that's when you realize, like, no, you can't. It's not just enough to have the number. You then have to then put yourself out there. So it's oh, great, you have, it's almost like they're making an incredible meal in your kitchen. It's like, how the hell is anybody else going to know? Like, do you know what I mean? You almost have to be the person that's like, oh, come taste my meal, come have a try as well. And I think that's something you're almost always told not to do, is to put yourself out there as well. So that was something that we were like, okay, right, and I'm just going to share our story as well, like reach out to brands, just tell them who we are. And it wasn't reaching out to people saying, oh, this is who we are and I want something back. It's just an introduction, it's just saying hi kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that was probably when we started to notice a bit of a shift then, where people were like, oh my God, I didn't know you, especially with blogs. Like, they don't really have a public number that's like out there. It's not like Instagram or TikTok. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hidden behind like this, I guess, wall, so to speak. And that was something that we thought that we had to put ourselves out there a lot more as well.
And sometimes that can be uncomfortable because, you know, this is such a creative space, but creative people aren't often necessarily salespeople. And that's going back to you having to wear so many hats. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, I think, you know, what I'm doing here and is quite good.
It's hard.
Do you think it?
Yeah. I think you definitely have to learn certain behaviors as well. And you're always told, especially, and this is one of the biggest things I think as a creator, is nobody will champion you the way you need to champion yourself. Because like nobody knows your story, nobody knows the work you've put into it. A lot of the times people just see the surface part of it as well. So suddenly you have to learn to be your biggest advocate and be the person that goes out there and like sings your own praises as well. And I think it really matters being able to do that as well, because like I said, like nobody will do that for you. And one of the biggest things, and it sounds really bad to say, is people use the internet selfishly, and it's not a bad thing people are doing, but if I go on the internet right now to look for, I don't know, a sofa, I'm looking to fulfill my needs. I'm not looking to make the sofa company feel good about themselves or feel like, you've got a great customer in here. It's like, that they are not my priority, it's what I need as well. And I think that's something you realize, like, if someone is on your website or engaging with your content, they're there because they're getting information, they're getting entertained or something. They do not care. And not that they don't care about you, they will get to care about you over time. But initially, someone that doesn't know you, that has never met you before, never come across your content before, they're showing up because of something that they need. Mm. And then hopefully they stay because of something you're giving them as well.
The balance between the give and the ask.
Yeah.
Be careful that you don't ask too much of your audience. It's, you know, there's that balance.
Yeah, and I think it's just, once you understand that, I think it's then a thing that you kind of like, oh, okay, cool, like, I have to be the person. So you can't be afraid to put yourself out there kind of thing. So it was like, if you're doing something great, don't leave it hidden under layers for people to kind of dig through and try and figure out themselves. Be the person that actually says that stuff. Put it out there as well. Don't be shy about it, because I think it goes against the way, again, like you're taught to be, especially in the UK.
The UK, definitely, very, yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's something you actually then need to learn. It's like the art of self-promotion.
Mm. Yeah. And that takes years to kind of like build up on as well. And like, I think there's a lot of like, not shame, but like we're told not to self-promote sometimes in the UK. Like it's like, it's almost like pride is a bad thing. And like, it, I think in our industry, that's the most important thing you can actually get and be like, no, I'm worthy of this. Like I'm passionate about this. And it's important to push that out there.
Well, it's what the brands you're working with are doing as well. Like in the sense that brands are looking to share their message out there. That's where there's advertising, really. Like people are trying to be like, oh, here's a great thing that we do as a brand. If a company is trying to show you we're great at planning your holidays, that's what they're trying to do to show you that. So you're like, oh my God, this is fantastic. And so you as a creator needs to also be doing the same thing to be like, look, I'm also great at these things. Just in case it might be something you're interested in.
So we go from having £100 a month spare, because one of the things that we're not very good at the UK is, as well as often talking about money, you know, we're self-deprecating, we don't talk about money, and if we're not communicating with each other, how is the industry supposed to grow? I'm not going to be asking you specifics, don't worry, like, Jesus, I'm very open now.
£10 million.
But you've got £100 a month spare cash, that starts to increase. You have done a few brand deals. I assume you're making some affiliate revenue through your blog as well.
That was never our biggest priority, you know.
So it wasn't, it didn't make up any of the...
It was passive adverts on our blog that we use. We do use affiliates
have that
now, but... Yeah. It was nothing that we focused on at the start.
We didn't have passive adverts on our blog for years, and then also we didn't have affiliates. So the blog was very much its own standalone thing. Yeah. Everything that went into cost-wise was very much from our pockets. So there was no passive adverts. There was no... We should be better at this, but like when it comes to affiliates, not necessarily... been the best.
Sounds like there's an
implementing
opportunity.
There's 100% an opportunity, and I think as you grow as a creator as well, the biggest issue that you have is time.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes about prioritizing, we found. You know, we'd love to be able to then like scale up and just obviously maximize income streams like that, but it literally comes down to the moments to be like, I just don't have the time.
You have to choose between like creating a blog post or then trying to figure out how to implement affiliate marketing into the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, I'll just do the blog post instead. But yeah, you're right, there is an opportunity there.
It was interesting to see that there are some companies launching in the US that are sort of acting as funds, where they're taking like equity stakes in creators to give them lots of money up front so they can build big teams around them. There's one called Creative Juice that I've been looking at. But that's the next phase. It's like building the Mr. Beasts, the teams around the products and things. But let's just go back. So you've done these brand deals. You've missed a couple of zeros, a few zeros out of the contracts. When do you get management? When does the time come? And what was that experience like? Did you contact them? Did they contact you?
I mean, you're asking us a question with our manager in the audience. So.
What are the red flags?
I know, right? No, our management is actually incredible, and we love them so much.
I know we'd wanted to be with them for years before that.
When did you sign?
We actually signed 3 years ago before the pandemic.
Yeah, which was a crazy time to be
in
the
trap. Did you have management before, or was this your...
This was our first kind of like...
No, it wasn't actually. We had a blip.
Oh, a blip. Like, we love a blip. What happened?
So we had like...
Oh my gosh.
Spill the tea.
Yeah. So we had like a management kind of situation for maybe a couple of months, like 2 months there. And it was like, I don't remember how we met up, well, how we kind of connected with them. But we ended up basically signing with them initially on a trial basis. And it was a weird thing where it was... Nothing was really happening. There was no real kind of strategic anything. And there was one person in the team that was really, really great. And then she was there. Even after, like, say we weren't with them anymore, she was actually incredible. But for the most part there was nothing special happening there. There was nothing in terms of brand deals that were coming in. And even the stuff that, I mean, we had, and this is a big, big deal then as well. We had, like, someone come to us, and it was like a production company from France, and they were like, it's going to be, like, a five-figure deal. Like, we really want to, like, they were chasing up after us, like, oh, right, we'd like to work with you guys on this. And it was so with the management team, just silence from their end. And we were like, wait, hold on, this has been now, like, and they had chased us up after, like, 4 days, being like,
are you CC'd we're still on waiting. These emails?
Yeah.
At least you had the visibility.
And we're still waiting for a response, and then nothing. at all as well. And then we had to be like, okay, what is going on here? And I think eventually we had to take over the conversation. But I think the good thing for that is, like, thankfully it wasn't something we stayed in for too long. It wasn't something we were just like, okay, this isn't working. We're stepping away from it.
Yeah, it was good you weren't locked in.
Yeah, but it really shows you what bad looks like. And a lot of the times, I think one of the biggest things with management is you feel like, it's also that thing about not always knowing your worth. You feel like someone's doing you a favor, whereas in reality, it should be an equal partnership. You should be with people that you can be friends with. You should be people that you actually really enjoy spending time with. And I think it shouldn't be this kind of like, oh my God, they're up there and I'm so scared of them kind of thing, or the other way around either as well. It shouldn't be like you're up there and they're down there. It should be that equal partnership.
I think as well as like with management, you like the biggest thing to remember is that you need 100% trust on both ways. And that's what makes it work so well. If that trust isn't there, it just doesn't work the same way. Like, I know we can go to our managers and be like, okay, I'm not sure about this, and I know I will get as much as an impartial advice as I can on something.
Yeah. It'll be
that's
honest,
incredible.
And it will be for your own good as well, not just for the sake of just doing something. But when we end up signing with our management, we actually had done like a brand deal with them. Like, say, we signed probably in December. We'd done a brand deal in the summer. So we actually had a chance to actually see how they worked. And there were so many things. It was just like, oh, we're going to negotiate this extra fee for you because this is what you should be getting. We're like, huh? And then it was like, oh, yeah, we'll just take care of this thing for you. And I'm like, oh, my God, this feels so good. I mean, like, I need someone to look after me. Like, it was just things that we'd never considered, things that would just made our lives so much easier. And I think immediately I was just like, this is what good looks like.
It's also incredible. Like, as creators, we don't get into this industry to be full-time creators to be negotiating contracts. Not most of us, unless you're a legal blogger.
Or doing accounting.
Yeah, like, that's not something I ever wanted to do. And I think the great thing about getting good management is that you have a team behind you that's are experts in that area. And you've got teams behind you that are experts in negotiating what's fair for you as a creator as well.
So if you were to boil down the key responsibilities of a manager, say for somebody in the audience that is thinking about getting it, it would be helping with negotiations, helping with contracts, but also generating leads. What would you, you want them to be bringing work to you? Or
it's a little bit of everything in lots of ways. I feel like as a creator, what we do is about creating content that we love. And that's why we all got into this industry. We all wanted to be able to share what we're doing. I would suggest for us, one of the main reasons why we did it is because we realized we were getting too busy we were letting things slide with contracts. And we were like, do you know what? We're compromising now.
I mean, there's nothing like reviewing a contract after like 2 hours of sleep, like in Japan, like jet lagged and stuff, and you're like, oh, just missed details.
Would you say in contracts at the moment, one of the sort of sticking points that seem to be slipping in is a lot about usage rights?
I mean, yeah, I would actually say when we were, before we had management, that was nothing I even considered. I would be like, yeah, of course you can use my photo. Yeah, yeah, to put me in a YouTube ad. It's fine. Like, and how nuts is that now that I was thinking like that was just an okay thing to do? I think that's where experts come into the play really well. And like, you know, you have a team of people looking out for your best interests as well. And it's not about having a manager that's just looking for money. It's about looking for a manager that's looking out for what's fair for you.
Because I think that actually the money part comes naturally if you're actually taking care of the business part and actually like what you're creating part easier. But when we signed with management, and I know the different reasons that people do it, I remember just thinking the big thing is if we sign a deal for whatever it is, or we're going to sign this deal for whatever it is, right? We want to spend more time thinking about the creative side and then less time about the business side of things, especially when there's someone who is so much more skilled at doing that and so much more like well equipped to handle that. And it's like being able to do that then suddenly means you have way more time to do the things that you love as well.
To think about the creative. So we've got these contracts coming in, they're being negotiated by your management. In terms of the briefs that you're saying, are you working on, would you say, longer-term campaigns with people or within travel? Is it more short-term? And are you finding that brands are looking for specific platforms more so than others at the moment? Are you getting a lot of TikTok briefs? And also, long question, what to you does make what gets you excited? What is a really good brief? If you're a brand trying to contact you, how at the litany of stuff that you're getting in inbounds, what's going to make you say yes?
I mean, I think in lots of ways is like, as creators, we have to think about our brand, and it's like going into that whole like, it's like a dirty word to say commercial, like the commercial space of what you're doing. But I think the things that make me go, ooh, I'm excited about a brand is somebody going to me like, I get what you do. We want to be part of it and not use you just as a billboard. That's one of my biggest pet peeves is somebody coming with a fully formed brief with no wiggle room to be like, you know what, this is exactly what I want you to say. This is the script I need you to say. That's just not going to work for us. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's what creative marketing should be even.
Yeah, and I think in terms of that as well, like, say, the thing that will make us say yes, it's not even, I will happily go down the road in London as I would to, I don't know, Antarctica or to, like, Japan or anything. Like, it's like, I think it's not even about the destination or how shiny all of that stuff is. I think it's more so someone that actually just lets you really tell the story you want to tell. And I think that's such an important thing because I think the most frustrating things, retrospectively, have been the ones where people have kind of just planned everything for you and then they don't really leave you any room to be yourself. And then you're just there just thinking, like, why am I doing this kind of thing? And then what we end up doing is, like, we'll end up doing maybe, say, every single thing that we're asked to do. And then, like, maybe say, when you actually come to creating the content around it, only showcase, like, 60% of it, or maybe you miss out a huge chunk of it because it just didn't make any sense. Like, you showed up and you're like, what is this? I can't, you, do you know what I mean? This is not something I would do. So you then have to filter things because what you still want to do is create something for your audience that is actually still helpful. But then you still have to endure all the other awful things that you're doing. So I think the best brands that we've worked with are the ones where they're just like, right, we get you, like, just, like, do what you need to do, or they just give you that room to actually just be yourself.
Really. Definitely on the longer-term partnerships. We absolutely love that as well. I think, like, when we work with a brand, like, it's such an organic fit then as well, because, like, when we think of working with a brand, we kind of do this thing in ourselves where we're, like, we have, like, these three pillars, and we're, like, okay, before we work with any brand, it's, like, does it work for our audience? Does it work for us? And does it work for the brand? And if one of them doesn't fit, we don't do the partnership. And I think when you have a longer term partnership, you're able to, again, build trust like you do with management, to be able to be in a position to be like, oh, no, they get me. I know in 6 months' time when that collaboration comes through again, they're going to know exactly what we want to do, how we'll do it, and how it'll work really well.
And then you asked about platforms as well. And I think, yeah.
So it was a long question.
Yeah.
It was a long question.
You caused this.
I didn't even remember that bit.
And in terms of platforms, I think before, Instagram was like the be-all and end-all. Like, that was like the big one everybody wanted to be on, right? And then I think what we've noticed as well now is, like, people are actually, some of the money that would have been spent on Instagram is definitely going elsewhere. We're noticing TikTok is showing up a lot more as well. Even, like, Pinterest is as well. Like, there's so many more conversations that I had outside of Instagram now as well.
I think sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say, like, on the social side of things as well, that you have platforms like Pinterest that are actually trying to help full-time creators and part-time creators as well be able to make money from the content they're creating with brands too. So it's not just a one-sided conversation.
Yeah, I was never really sure with Pinterest because there was a monetization tool, then the monetization went and now it's come back again, has it?
I mean, they're definitely working with workshops per month, incredible workshops with the team in London, which are trying to be able to promote, like, how working with brands is on Pinterest and how different things would work around that. And it's actually incredible because in a lot of ways, I suppose social media platforms are quite silent in how creators make money. And it's only recently, maybe in the last 18 months or so, other social media platforms have been like, oh, we need to get on this. We need to keep our creators here.
I think, for instance, like, I remember for the longest time, and I think most creators would have felt this as well, particularly with Facebook, where it was like, you just didn't feel valued. It was like they used to allow, like, I mean, years ago, like, we're talking almost 10 years ago, you had an audience and they followed you and that was exactly what they got. I'm sorry, they got to see your content and then suddenly you were sidelined, like, you almost had to pay for play. And then over time as well, then they started prioritizing maybe, say, more news agencies instead. And I think what's happened, it's almost like come full circle, especially with TikTok showing how strong creators can actually be in terms of building the presence on your platform. So we're seeing that definitely that shift that we're suddenly, like, Facebook is like, hey, we're still here. And we're seeing an increased engagement on Facebook as well. We're seeing even Instagram as well showing up, just being like, okay, fine, we get this. We should be promoting creators as well.
Would you say on the whole that the travel creator space has bounced back to what it was pre-pandemic now? Because obviously,
I would say it's very busy at the moment. I think people are still very eager to travel. Obviously, we have a cost of living crisis as well that we have to consider as well with, like, the kind of holidays and the trips that go on. I would say, even from a brand perspective, we are definitely seeing lots of brands wanting to work with travel creators.
Yeah, I think it's come back. And I think it's also come back slightly different.
Yeah,
in that definitely. The creators in that space are different. I think we've seen some new people really rise up and really showcase, like, I guess, how that space is now. It's not what it used to be before. I mean, gone are the days, and hopefully they're gone for quite some time, where it was just, oh, just dress up in a nice kind of outfit or in a bikini or something, do you know what I mean? And then take a photo somewhere, and then that's the end of the creating space. So we don't get any information about why should we go here, or actually I want to go here, how expensive. You know, you don't really get the informative stuff kind of. And for the longest time, it was like in the creator space, in travel particularly, it was put a beautiful photo from the destination, and then that's that.
Yeah. I think it's
whimsical also whimsical caption, and then nothing else as well.
It's also the difference between, like, I think, like, we're all seeing this change as well. Is like there's a difference between influence and expertise, and I think this is such a shift in the industry right now towards like being an expert in what you do, and that's an incredibly powerful thing.
Mm. Yeah, and the thing I was saying about like, say, the bikini on the beach, kind of all the kind of photos. It's not saying that that was bad. The problem was that it wasn't empowering any creators, any of the audience to travel in any strong way. And I think what we're noticing now is more so, yes, be on the beach with your bikini, wear the outfit, do the thing, but give us something that helps us
tell us how to travel. Tell us what we should be doing, the informative stuff.
And then the people that are doing that are doing really well, because they're sharing information that you feel like immediately, like you see something, you think, oh, I never thought of that. I want to share it with my friends. I want to save this for later kind of thing. We're seeing those people now really start to do well. So it's no longer just the surface level content about a destination. We're seeing that people are actually eager to actually show what lies beneath the surface, being more honest as well, and less filtered with like what they're actually sharing.
You've been listening to Be Creator, Serious Influence with me, Alice Audley. If you'd like to find out more about our upcoming creator shows, be sure to head to becreator.co.uk.